8. The Daleville Inn, Daleville, Alabama. 20:05 hours, 9 February, 1992. The rain was coming down in buckets, and First Lieutenant C.G. Castillo, who had gotten drenched going from the Apache to base ops, and then drenched again going from base ops to his car, got drenched a third time going from where he had parked his car to the motel building. The Daleville Inn was full of parents and wives who had come to see their offspring and mates get their wings pinned on them, and one of these had inconsiderately parked in the slot reserved for room 202. As he walked past the car and started up the stairs to the second floor, the car in his slot flashed its lights at him and then blew its horn. He was tempted to go to the car and deliver a lecture on motel parking lot courtesy, but decided that was likely to get out of hand, and satisfied himself with giving the driver the finger as he continued up the stairs. He was standing at his door, patting the many pockets of his soaking wet flight suit in search of his key, when he heard someone bonging their way up the steel stairs. Then he sensed someone standing behind him.
"I was just about to give up," Beth Wilson said. "I've been sitting out there since 6.
"I was afraid of this."
"Afraid that I'd be here?"
"Or that you wouldn't."
"We have to talk, Charlie."
"Oh, yeah.
Just talk. Nothing else."
"Would you believe I expected you to say something like that?" He found the key. He opened the door, waved her through it, followed her in, closed the door, and only then turned the lights on.
"You should have turned them on before you pushed me in here," Beth said. "I almost fell over your wastebasket."
But no one saw the general's daughter and the affianced of Righteous Randolph in Castillo's room, did they? As they would have, had I turned the lights on first.
"You're soaking wet. Where have you been?"
"Where would you guess I've been, dressed as I am in my GI rompers?"
"You haven't been flying."
"Oh, yes, I have.
Randy called and said they were weathered in, that there was weather all over this area and nobody could fly."
"Except courageous seagulls and Pete Kowalski. He holds that coveted green special instrument card which permits him to decide for himself whether it's safe to take off. He told me that it would be educational, and it was."
"Where were you?"
"The last leg was Fulton County to here. Can you amuse yourself while I take a shower? We're going flying again in the morning, and I'd rather not have pneumonia when I do that."
"Go ahead."
Beth was sitting on the couch with her legs curled up under her skirt when he came into the living room. She was wearing another transparent blouse through which he could see her brassiere.
"I know she didn't do that on purpose."
"I am now going to have a drink," Castillo announced. "Not, I hasten to add, a martini. We have learned our lesson about martinis, haven't we?"
"I really wish you wouldn't."
"I've told you about Ed McMahon, and oh boy, did I earn it today."
"Do whatever you want."
"I don't think you really mean that."
"I meant about taking a drink."
"Oh.
And you knew it. God damn you, Charlie, you never quit."
He made himself a stiff scotch on the rocks and carried it to the couch. "You will notice I didn't offer you one," he said, raising the glass.
"I noticed. Thank you."
"So what have you decided to do about Righteous?"
"I wish you wouldn't call him that."
"So what have you decided to do about he who is nameless?"
"What do you mean? What am I going to do about him?"
"If I may dare to offer some advice, when you tell him you've thought things over and the wedding is off, don't mention what caused you to do some serious reconsidering."
"The wedding's not off," she said, surprised.
"You're still going to marry him?"
"Of course. What did you think I was going to do? Elope with you to Panama City or someplace?"
"Aware of the risk of having you throw something at me, I have to tell you that is not one of your options."
"I never thought it was."
"I'm glad we can agree on at least that. So you're going ahead with the wedding?"
Why is that so hard for you to understand?
Think about it, Beth.
What happened last night was a mistake.
Yes, it was. It made me reconsider the merits of the Roman Catholic Church.
Now, what is that supposed to mean?
If you're a Catholic, and all the Castiles but this one are devout Roman Catholics, when you have sinned, all you have to do is go to confession. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Convince the priest that you're sorry, and he grants you absolution, and all is forgiven. Clean slate. Forget it.
Well, at least you're sorry about yesterday.
On a strictly philosophical, moral level? Yeah. But Satan has his claws in me. And on another level, I'm not sorry. And I don't think I'll ever forget it.
Does that mean you're sorry or not?
I don't like the prospect of having always to remember that I plied my father's buddy's about-to-be-married daughter with martinis and had my wicked way with her.
My God!
Not that I seem to recall there was much resistance involved.
You bastard!
You're learning, Castillo said, and sipped his scotch.
It happened. What we have to do is decide what we're going to do about it.
Is one of my options doing it again? The cow, so to speak, being already out of the barn?
I won't even respond to that. What I came to ask you is what I came to ask you last night. Will you take a part in the wedding?
Jesus Christ! I'm a bastard, not a hypocrite.
My mother this morning said she was going to ask you. My father said it probably wasn't that good an idea. She told him to ask you. At supper, he said he couldn't, because you were stuck someplace because of the weather, but he'll ask you tomorrow.
He won't find me tomorrow. Trust me.
She didn't reply.
I just can't believe you're going to marry Righteous. Just can't understand it.
I love him. Can you understand that?
No.
It's as simple as that, Charlie. We have a lot in common. I understand him. He understands me.
I don't think he would understand what happened last night.
He's never going to know what happened last night, is he?
As tempting as it is for me to consider having it whispered down the long gray line that Castillo nailed Righteous Randolph's fiancée 5 days before they got hitched, I couldn't do that to you or your parents. Our sordid little secret will remain our sordid little secret.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Beth got off the couch and said,
I'll say good night.
Good night. She walked to the door. He went with her. She looked up at him.
Thank you again. Good luck.
You're welcome again. She took the lock off the door. Beth, he said, very seriously. There's something I've got to tell you.
What's that?
Don't get your hopes up too high about the wedding night, the honeymoon.
Excuse me?
I've seen Righteous in the shower. I've seen bigger you-know-whats on a Pekingese. He held up his right hand with the thumb and index finger barely apart to give her some idea of scale. She swung her purse at him. He caught her wrist. She spit in his face, then fell into his arms. She didn't go home until it was almost midnight. By then, it had stopped raining.